Okay, thank you all. We're going to try and work across a couple of different machines here, but we thought the best way to begin the day was to give some context for the project for the Bidwell project. And I'd like to introduce Murray Gard to talk a little bit about the community at Kabalwarramyo, how it was set up and why, and the kind of work that various of us have been doing there. So, Murray, please.
Thanks, Kim. Yes, our field site is at an Aboriginal outstation, but an unusual Aboriginal outstation by the name of Kabalwarramyo. It's on the Arnhem Land Plateau in Western Arnhem Land in the Northern Territory. And it was originally the vision of a senior Aboriginal man by the name of Lofty Wadail Nudjemerik, who since has been awarded an AO for his work in setting up this whole concept and for his vision. And his vision was to return back to his country in his old age. He's now 80 years old. But at the same time, he's had a long association of working with non-Aboriginal people, many of them specialists in both the natural and social sciences. And his idea was to set up a long-term research camp, both where his family and relatives could come back to country, but at the same time it could work with researchers across a whole range of fields. And my involvement started in 2002 when Lofty went back, and the community is now about between 20 and 30 residents. There are 2 to 3 non-Aboriginal residents. I'm there during the dry season. We have landscape ecologists, zoologists, couple of linguists, occasional anthropologists, medical researchers, a whole range of people. And as a linguist, I'm able to sort of write on the back of these projects. I'm doing a major lexicography project, and so it doesn't really matter what people are talking about. We can, when you have these sort of specialists really delving deeply into a subject, gives you the opportunity to really get some detail out in a particular lexical area. And this has been the focus of my work, which I can then sort of feed into the other specialists such as Kim and Leo at DSpace. And I suppose one of the advantages of that for me, having so many other specialists working together over so many disciplines, is that if I was to try and get a handle on the 47 acronyms that have been raised here over the last couple of days, and as well try to keep the solar power system in our community going, and some of the issues we were talking about yesterday. So we have so many of these sort of survival necessities. I'd be sort of either swinging from linguistics into computer science or into remote alternative power supply at full time. So I don't need to do this because of the setup we have. It's a long-term field project. It's now been going for 4 years. It's unlimited in its... I suppose it will rely a lot on Lofty's health and continued input. But this has particular advantages. If you're able to find a number of funding sources, as we have, across all these different specialist areas. So it's an alternative model, I suppose, to the short-term get in there, do your research over a number of weeks or months and get out again. We're doing this as an ongoing activity over a number of years. I think that sort of just gives some background to the field site, to the community, and Kim's going to continue.
As a ethnographic filmmaker, I've had an involvement at Kabalwarramyo for about 3 years now. One of the frequent discussions that would come up in the camp was the sort of awareness that there was a steadily growing pile of digital resources of all sorts that were being generated by all the different sorts of people that Murray just mentioned, from sort of botanists, zoologists, through to people involved in the fire studies on the plateau. It's a major area of interest. We were all collecting our various sort of data, but none of us were really coordinating it, and we were beginning to worry more and more about the state of preservation of a lot of this material. It was especially brought home to us earlier this in the last wet season, when Cyclone Monica just put this trail of destruction straight through Western Arnhem Land. They're fortunately missing this camp, but had it been but a few miles to the sort of in a different course, it would have taken out a lot of, apart from anything else, it would have taken out a lot of the digital material that's been created over the last few years. Hence the Bidwen project, an attempt to try to bring a lot of this material together and to try and interrelate it and to try and achieve some long-term storage for it. We're faced with an awful lot of material, so one of the early decisions was to settle on a very small subset of the material based around some of the land management work that's being done there, and in particular our efforts, Murray's efforts primarily, to establish an understanding, a word list really, of Binin Gunwok terms for different aspects of the ecology. I'll just try and show, if I can make this thing work, a short segment of video showing something of the process of discussion that was involved in creating this understanding of Binin Gunwok terms. Tom. Projection.
It's 26:40 by 4:80. Yeah, that's really ugly.
How do we get the mic?
You got the mic.
Yeah. This one's designed for 1024 by 4:60.
Just push it.
See, it needs to show up.
I think it's already used the computer then.
Got to show up. Yeah, it comes in shortly after this. This is fine. Just to re-push.
Can I play again?
But when it lies, not following the English, not in the watershed, one side, Kuku Gabori, Kabibmi, Mani, your Kanji, Manogan, and Mani. Manviga, Kuku Gabore, Kabetme, Momega, Ima Irut. But Kure Gabor Kunbun, Yanigan Abon Kure.
The land is like this tent. The water that falls on that side of the coast will go that way. The water that falls on this side of the road will go that way. But in the middle country, what do you call that line in the middle where it separates out the
water?
Baran.
Bep 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 gari. It, the water, is divided into halves, or is divided up. Separately it goes. Gabori, separately it flows off. Into its, each into its own, separately. It means sort of divided up into its own, different. This one's got its own flow, this one has its flow, and this little area in the middle. Yaman gai me mandulum mani. Mani mandulum, because gabori ganji, what about what gabori ganji, yaman gai me mani?
Gabori
ganji me mangabo, why? And man binga gangi me. Kabep pe boyalarme. Each separately distributes the water. It, for each one, the water is separated. Watershed, that's enough.
That button up there. To switch the laptop.
Just that button.
So, that was that was getting one word. put the light back on. For Leo.
The laptop? No. Is it too high resolution? Is it?
No, I think you've got
it. I went down to 1024.
Do you? Yes, try that.
Oh. Where's this head?
So anyway, at this point, about a year ago, we started to talk with Leo Jimenez and others in his area at Division of Information at the ANU about how to try to approach some of the questions that we were all asking about what to do with all our material, or all our very disparate material. And we received a really small ARC grant to begin this work, and what Leo will now show is and talk about is the progress that we've made to date within the Bidwarren project. Yeah. And you're off to Leo.
Thank you. My name is Leo Modus, and there are many linguists here, so if you're wondering, my accent is Hungarian, so you don't need to think of it anymore. So as you just saw, my regard fieldwork at the Kabawanya place, and all his time spent there, you can't really expect him to not just understand XML, just even to try to write a star sheet to convert, or even worry about where he's going to and how he's going to store his data. So that's what actually software engineer is supposed to do. And what we actually try to achieve, especially as the framework of APSR, writing systems that whatever you're comfortable with, as long as it exports it into XML, we will work hard to make use of your data. All we expect you to is do your work, of course, and collect all the metadata information. And well, more metadata you collect, and more metadata you append to your items, it's going to benefit not just the whole group of people working on the same field, but of course, like Then you got 58 elements in the shoebox. Oh, sorry, 112 elements, and you drop 47. It's convenient for you, but maybe in 50 years or 60 years, some of those people would really come back and kind of miss them. So, but anyway, as much metadata you can collect, probably it's better for us. So anyway, Bitwarden was a pilot project and sort of proof of concept that we can have field workers collect their data and use the preferred system, in this case FarmMaker Pro, and using, as Stephen pointed out, METS, which is just a wrapper to contain XML, of course, metadata and the items itself, point to the item itself. And it's widely used as, and it's standard, so any system in the future should be able to export kind of close to METS format, and we're going to work on it to make it METS, and any future archive system should be able to ingest METS and put it in the archive. So the tools we developed is just one of the many we are planning to develop in the future. So this Bitwarden is just a pilot. And as I said, just FarmMaker Pro and use METS. And, well, if somebody not familiar with some of the terms, DSpace is an institutional repository used by many, well, there aren't many open source repositories. This DSpace is one of them, developed by MIT and Hewlett-Packard, and it's an open source program. And ANU is part of the developers team, and we are working on enhancing the ability of DSpace. And one of the extra so-called plugin is Mannequin, which enables you to create an overlay of your archive, because anyone who you work with any archive that you know, you can put your data in and there is a really clunky interface. You can find that item and you can just browse through or step through all your 2,000 items, or maybe some of them has a nice search interface. You can type in like really flashy search and you can find your items, but it's really just as an archivist would design, it's just a huge storage with 5 kilometers files, and you can just pick one up. So, and this space itself originally looked like that as well. So, all in the picture, a couple of acronyms, of course, but what we have here is the FarmMaker server. Field helper will be one of them, obviously. We have SIP and DIP. Chris Blackwell's acronyms, which is a submission information package. Well, actually, it stands for any system which will produce or export into XML. We're going to provide a metadata wrapper transformation on top of it, which enables you to kind of define your data in a standard way, and mods and Dublin Core or whatever is your preferred metadata, you don't need to worry about it. And I definitely don't want anyone whose precious time needs to be spent on the field to work about what SIP or DIP should I use. So you just collect your data and use probably some of those systems which allows you to export the XML, and we're going to write the systems which enables you to put it in. In this case, DSpace. DSpace is because ANU is a partner and we're developing DSpace. There are other ones like Fedora, another institutional repository which is used by University of Queensland, also can make use of these METS packages as well. So what we are working on, interoperability between not just applications, what researchers using, but also institutional repositories, as make sure that you can exchange your data. So if in 50 years this space go out of fashion because some OSpace will come up, then probably that tool also will be able to make use of any of these packages. Really? Okay. So anyway, what we use, FileMaker Pro, it's a staging database. Probably many of you have seen how useful is that. I'm not really fond of it because it's not a relational database. It's just a set of columns and data. And so this is how it looks, one entry. You find a photo or you got a directory of images, you can just use a directory ingester. You can define your own metadata fields. In our case, you got a couple of categories, basically the one Murray and Kim define. If it's readable, I think Kamboro and whatever. So what we have added to the FileMaker Pro is just a little script that you can see up there, which says export mets. And all of what FileMaker Pro does, you can just collect the data, any data, any way you want. And we developed a set of processes which, by just pressing the button, you get your data out of FileMaker Pro and put it in this space. So this is stage one. And so what is this space? It's just the institution repository and just one of them. And you can, yeah, practically you can use any you want. So what we put on top of this space is a little web interface. And this is when we should really emphasize on your metadata. Basically, if you have a repository with file name, date created, and maybe creator, a couple of other metadata fields, then that's as much as you're going to get out of your presentation layer. You can just search by author or put a time. But if you're going to use like a field helper and you're going to store metadata such as locations, such as instrumentalists or languages, then you can enhance the discovery interface. You can use schema, you can use lexicon or dictionary, or you can use a mapping interface to present your data. And let's try to do a demo then. Okay. Let's hope it works on the screen as well. I shouldn't show you that. Yeah. So this is the entry to the web interface for the archive. And it completely hides the database and the institution repository behind the system. You can see browse and search. These two tabs on the left and the right side, these are the standard archive recovery methods that you can just click on browse and it enables you to find anything starts with A. What am I clicking on? Oh, there you go. Anything starts with A or B and it just shows you a list of items you got on that location or on that. Or you can click on search, and then you can type in something like Navaram searches and finds all items which contains Navaram in the field. The most important one, which we call just land and people at this stage, which comes very close to Stephen's SVG dream, what we can... If we would have a speaker connected, I don't know. There you go. So, there you can hear it. What you can see is the menu and an SVG representation of the domain. If you're a botanist or if you're collecting rock arts, your definition of the domain obviously is completely different. You can give it to us at the same time when you define your FileMaker Pro database or a field helper. And we are able to visualize your domain using like ecology. You could hear a little bird in the background. I love that. Kavadavada, that's rock, obviously. I learned a lot. So this menu is, or the SVG, is completely dynamic. Anyone who's, willing to join us as a data supplier, then we can take use of their metadata to present it and enable to discover or recover data and share it with other people. So if you click on Kavare Vare, or then it shows you all the images where the metadata is recorded as something rocky. And so that's one of them. Dictionary, which is the other one, it's all thanks to Murray's hard work. And practically we took use of it in this format, and I hope he forgives us. It's not; it's still under development, but we already could demonstrate the power of using a lexicon side by side with an archive. It all came out of FileMaker Pro, but I converted it into shoebox terms because I found it much more useful, obviously. And the search, you can type in like shoebox LX number one, which showed me the entry. Or if you can just type in like D, I think we already have one. So just show me all the Pythons in Murray's dictionary, and you can find, for example, Navaran, the Onpeli Python, and maybe the battery is running slow. Anyway, what? It did work. That's a problem when you run something. Okay, let's show you the other instance then. This one is running at university, so it's more reliable. And from the lexicon, you can go into the archive and find all the items with that term. We have created the previews for images, also previews for audiovisual data. And the sound should work. No. Anyone can hear anything? It's only a short song, so. It's finished. So. Oh, there you go.
Next one.
Well, if anyone wants to hear it again, you can play that in the break. The last one, well, not the last one, the penultimate, is places. Actually, probably I can show you. Since we have, not all, but we have a lot of locations recorded in FileMaker Pro with longitude and latitude, we could use all this data in every item to find where those items being captured, and you can present it in a mapping. What's that? What do I press? Everything?
No.
It's not that.
That's right.
Competition, that's what happens. I thought we were working for the same goal here.
These locations are actually GPS recordings from a exported from a program called Figawi, the mapping program used up there. So it's actually gone through about three stages to get to here.
Mm. So one of the, well, my favorite photo is in Bindalak. You can see the image. Well, if anybody interested to make it, it is really in DSpace. I can just show you very quickly. So this is how DSpace looked, and well, it still looks if you use only DSpace. So what Bitwarden does, that's the original DSpace interface, which enables you to just view all your collections and we have a lot of, we've got a lot of collections literally coming. Okay. So anyway, we go back to this item. So you can see one of the items in on the map, and you can zoom in, and well, one more maybe. One back, and this item says there's a water hole 4 kilometers south of Bindalok, and you can see on the map that there is the actual water hole. So you can see it in from deep space, and you can see it from deep space as well. So that's the benefit. The other one, which is most people love, is because everything is, once you use XML, you can transform XML into any other format, and most of the applications, which is coming out in the future using XML. And Google Earth is one of them. It's using a markup language called KML, which it's practically just an RSS feed coming from the Bitwarden collection, and you can subscribe to it, and if you double-click, then it shows your collection in the 3D globe, and you can see the unpronounceable Kabulanga.
Yeah,
exactly. And if you're lucky, because you got a hand, it means there are items in this space, so you can click on it and it shows you all the images which taken from Kabulanga. Well, that's about the presentation, I think. Well, I mean, the demo. Do you want to say something? Are we? Should finish.
Oh, really?
All right then.
It's up to you. If you want to keep down there for a few minutes, that's fine.
Well, practically, Peter Raptus was supposed to do this presentation, and we just, over dinner yesterday, we just talked about what we're going to present and how we're going to present it. I'm much more involved in the technical side of writing the software and like coming up with ideas like Kim and Murray, how we're going to present it. But one of the what I think is the best one, that it enables you to visualize your domain. And if your domain is music, then you can, well, this is George Ilupka's schema or metadata, a way of organizing rock arts and rock paintings. So it's very easy to, if he's got his data in any format, where items are classified according to this schema, it's very easy for us to ingest the data into this space. Using his schemas, you can find the items. At this stage, we didn't use it, so if you just type in, like, paintings, it's just probably going to come up with all the paintings. So, and some definitely new, not pre-Esterine images. So that's it, if you... Any question? I didn't show XML in the purpose, but if anyone wants to see XML, I'm more than willing to reveal it. Or XSL.
If I could just comment on something, it's either a tribute to how easy some of this or a tribute to Leo's skill, but the last slide, the last frame showed of the schema for analysing rock art, I think I gave to Leo about last Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, it's only 20 minutes because it's all dynamically generated.
So it was quite extraordinary.
Oh, it's all XML behind this. If I just one very quickly, what this base XML UI does, if you type in dry, which is a document in XML format, then what you see is this, just all nicely styled with lots of... There you go. So what Dry does, it just shows you the source data, and what we did is just put a styling on top of it, and that's the only, just one XSLT transformation to convert this into this. Yeah, any questions?